Freaking red Blog spot.
Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
My name is... Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Yeah. Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
All right. Yes, sir. America, what's going on tonight?
We're going to have JC on tonight?
Amsterdam. No, I remember JC said he was going to be out for 2 weeks.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. We may catch him next week. I'm going to be off next week. Y'all can still do the show if y'all want to. I know I'll be in Destin the last week in August. But other than that, you guys have some options for sure. But, yeah. Fun times.
We got a fantasy draft next Monday night, Dre. I don't know. Do I need to reschedule that, or are you good for that night?
I think the 22nd is fine. I got to actually.
No, we got one on the 15th, too.
Mm-hmm. 15 should be fine. I'll verify. I think I got to verify the 22nd. That's going to be an interesting situation. But, if we can get those in.
Let me translate that for you, Rob. Rob, let me translate that for you. He'll ask the wife.
Exactly.
She's pretty cool, actually.
We're
really awesome, you know? Yeah, she's pretty awesome. She kind of listens to my thing. It's more or less like just figuring out if we have the time to fit everything in, too. So she's very, very understanding. So that's why I know we got to end the show pretty quick tonight because we're going to be driving to Charlotte tomorrow. So we're going to be ripping and running for anniversary week, 27 years here. So shout out to the wifey for putting up with me too. So fun times. So it's all good.
Congratulations. Yep. And then it's not easy putting up with you. So definitely shout out to you guys.
Wow.
27 years.
That woman must have. It's amazing.
Yeah, she's phenomenally patient, but there are two sides, everything,
Mm-hmm.
But she's great for sure. America, we're ready to talk some sports here. We gotta throw out the numbers always, the 424-243-9519. We're gonna check with everyone in a quick second. Follow us at the number 12 THMAN Sports, and last but not least, we're on Facebook. You go to facebook.com/talkingsports with the 12th man or 12th man sports. You will find us in that arena. We are ready to talk on August the 9th. We are kicking it off. Football season, we had the first game last week. We're keeping this going. We're excited. College football's right around the corner. We're in the middle of baseball. A lot of things to talk about. Let's check in with the fellas. We're going to start with West Coast. Curtis, Gary, how you guys doing this evening?
We're doing good. Curtis is sitting in with us. He's not going to participate tonight other than the fact that I took down a few notes for him, and I'll pass it along for you. But we're doing good. We had one of our work buddies come over and visit Curtis today, and they went out down on the Willamette River on the waterfront. That Curtis lives on the waterfront, by the way. So he was down here on the waterfront today, so he had a good day. Busy day, so he's a little tired. But I'm doing good, and we're ready to do it.
America.
Let's make it do what you do, baby.
Rob, Gary's been on fire sending us all kinds of, screenshots as far as the Dallas Cowboys and what they're ranked, but then also their winning percentage and the value of the Cowboys. So Curtis and Gary are definitely fired up. I definitely wonder if that's more Gary. But, again, it's going to be an interesting, explosive show, if you will. Rob, are you ready to deal with all this tonight, sir? How you feeling this evening?
I'm ready to make it do what it do, man. Yeah. Hey,
he's like,
down in South Beach.
Oh, good stuff.
Checking
good
on
stuff.
The Miami Dolphins and the Miami Hurricanes. We're trying to see how Tua's doing and trying to see how Alex Van Dyke is doing for the Hurricanes.
Okay. All right. Good stuff. Well, let's jump right into it. Obviously, I'm keeping an eye in my peripheral with the Red Sox-Braves game. They're definitely in 10 innings here, 10 innings, I'm kind of upset about that. But hopefully we'll be able to pull this out too. I know you guys want us to beat the Red Sox as Yankees fans, so we'll keep an eye on that as well.
Alex Van Dyke.
Yeah, we knew what you were thinking. Let's jump into it. We got a lot of things to talk about. The GOAT in tennis, Serena Williams, is actually going to retire after the U.S. Open. There's been some her giving some farewell to the fans, if you will. And just I don't think there's enough words to talk about just how amazing Serena has been. She's obviously her, and whenever Venus and Serena came out, I don't know if you guys saw King Richard, which was a great movie with Will Smith, just kind of talking about all the adversity they had to overcome.
Yeah.
Just a powerful movie.
Great
just
movie.
Kind of powerful to see them to ascend to that great height, and then for her to be at the top of her game. You don't know what she had to endure. I can only imagine some challenges that she ran into, obviously, as being an African American, and just to kind of just dominate after year too. She's always been the standard, and like I said, I don't know if there will be another player like her. It's kind of early to tell because obviously records are made to be broken, but right now. Just an outstanding career for Serena Williams, and we have to bow. She's definitely the greatest of all time, I would say, in tennis.
Oh, yeah, hands down. Definitely very well said. Definitely the greatest female tennis player in history. And, you know, the interesting thing about that movie, King Richard, it was really more about Venus than it was Serena. But, toward the end of that movie, you know, if that's true, you know, Richard, you know, told her and said, hey, you're going to be the greatest to ever play the game. And he said that to Serena, even though the movie was really more about Venus and Richard than it was about Serena. But definitely she took, you know, her game to a whole nother level. She had power. She had speed. She really had all elements of the game, you know, technique and stance. She was really good in that area. So just a dominant female tennis player for how she just, you know, he had a lot of great ones before that, you know, and Chris Everett, Martina Navratilova, but she definitely took it to a whole nother level. And, yeah, you definitely got to tip her hat to her. As she just announced that the U.S. Open will be her last tournament. And, you know, hopefully she puts on a good showing. She's going to concentrate on family and business. But, you know, from talking sports to the 12th man, we salute Serena on a phenomenal career.
Absolutely. Well said, Rob.
Well, what I would say, you know, both Serena and Venus, you know, they had their, you know, they had their battles, you know, in a white sport, you know. And guess what? I mean, both of the sisters were very successful.
You're right.
I didn't think early on that they were going to have those records that Serena would not have those, that she wouldn't have the records that was going to surpass, you know, Navratilova. But she just blew right by them, by Chris Everett, Navratilova, those prior to her. Did it with class, did it with dignity. And just like you said, Rob, I mean, the woman just did it, you know, with a complete game, and just a phenomenal athlete. You know, the GOAT, absolutely the GOAT in tennis, and you know, she's in a realm where she's in the, you know, as far as female athletes, she's probably the GOAT. As female athletes, and she's in the conversation for the GOAT for all athletes. That's the level that she's played at. That's what she's done. So my hat's off to her. Her new chapter in life is going to be whatever. She's going to be a success, whatever she does, because that's all she knows how to do is just be a successful, decent person. So congratulations to her. And Curtis and I talked about that earlier, and he wanted to mention, you know, those struggles of being, you know, an African-American woman in the sport of tennis. And so congratulations to her from both of us here in the West Coast.
I think it's funny every time, and this is just a bad joke, but every time you would say Chris Everett, I always thought of, like, the old Rams quarterback, Jim Everett. They used to always, you know, he used to always get made fun of.
Oh, yeah.
He got kind of pissed in that one interview. I think about, like, Chris Everett, like, what? He used to always get pissed. But a quick shout-out, if you will, because just to let you know, Venus, Serena has 23 Grand Slams. It's actually the second most in history. The first is I had to look this up. It's a pretty unknown player. A lot of you know a player named Margaret Court. Margaret Court has the most with 24, only one more above Serena, which is pretty interesting too. But Serena has the most, you know, second obviously among men and women. So that's a shout out to her, as we talked about Gary. And I grew up in the days of Pete Sampras and Andre Agassi, and then the tail end of Johnny Mack, John McEnroe, the bad boy tennis too. And obviously I was there kind of, you know, with the Chris Edwards and Martina Navratilova, if you will, too. But that's kind of, I remember tennis as far as those greats too. And obviously with Rafael Nadal. But it's just interesting to see that kind of, again, transition to that. And we've seen Serena just dominate for such a long time. So she's been pretty much undisputed too. So, again, as Rob said so eloquently, on behalf of Talking Sports 12, man, we definitely salute her and just you know, just a great player. You know, and the GOAT, like you talked about too. So, good stuff.
Well, one thing I would add to that is 14 doubles with her sister. 14 doubles,
yeah.
Champions with her,
exactly,
sister as well. Mm. And those,
yeah.
you know, and I don't know if you guys had a chance to watch many of the doubles matches that they were in, but I watched a lot of tennis. It was almost comical how bad those two sisters would beat up.
They're pretty bad.
You know, even in the finals, you know, in these matches, they were just
14.
Just that dominant, yeah. as a in the doubles version of 14. That's nothing to joke about. A lot of championships there.
Good stuff. Let's move on here. Let's talk about the top five. We're going to throw that to you guys. Your NFL, Major League Baseball top five. And we'll let Rob do the play of the week on that, too. So what's your guys' top five for this week?
I have the Dodgers at number one. They're on a roll. They won 9 out of the last 10 games. They seem to be hitting their stride, even with some injuries, right? Clayton Kershaw looked like he's going to be out for a little bit. But they're the hottest team in baseball. I even have them as a team of the week. But I tell you what, a close second is the New York Mets. And the Mets are going to be a tough out in the playoffs because DeGrom and Scherzer, 1-2, man, if they go up on teams 2-0, they're going to be tough to beat. I mean, it's going to be hard to match them from a pitching standpoint, from a 1-2 standpoint. So I have the Mets in the number two spot. And surprisingly, I have the St. Louis Cardinals in the number three spot. They have surprisingly gone 9-1 in the last 10 games. Just swept our Yankees. And so they're 9-1 in the last 10 games. I got the Astros, who fell off just slightly. They're 5-5 in the last 10 games. But they overall but still been playing some really good baseball. And, man, I've dropped our New York Yankees down to number 5. We seem to be heading in the wrong direction here. Gerrit Cole is not doing what he needs to do from a pitching standpoint. We've made some trades, but Yankees are even struggling from at the plate as well offensively. And then you just lost Matt Carpenter as well, who's a big contributor, who's probably going to be out for the season. So it's not looking good. I mean, I think the Yankees are still winning the division, but it's not looking good as far as how far they can go in the playoffs. But the only good thing is it seems like the best teams in baseball right now in the National League, and that's the Dodgers, Mets, and Cardinals.
I agree with you. I have the Dodgers at top. The only question with the Dodgers is the late innings out of the bullpen. The Mets I have at number two. The Yankees I've dropped to number three. And I think it's more – I think I would drop them to five, but I think I just love them so much I put them in the three spot. Because if you look at the since July 8th, you know, they're 9-16.
Yeah, it's not looking good.
That's something that you got to be concerned with, and you got to. But if you're going to have a slump, let's let's get it all out of your system now, I guess, because I believe they are going to win their division. Then I've got the Astros, and I've got the Braves. But the Braves, you know, they're a team that's kind of comments, but they're kind of tailing off as well. And that's another part of our topics is, you know, can they be caught, you know? So we'll get into that later. But that's my top five. But I think the Braves are in the five spot right now. And next week they may not, unless they turn some things around.
That's a good. I mean, I appreciate you giving a shout out to the Braves, Curtis. It's tough, right? Because I kind of think they went in. We'll talk about this topic with the Mets. I think they kind of went in. The Mets treated that like a playoff series. They're like, yo, we're going to treat this like a playoff series. I don't think the Braves were taking it out. They shouldn't take it more seriously, I think. But one thing that I do have to say, they beat the teams you're supposed to beat. Like they've beaten, you know, the Marlins. They've beaten the sorry teams, if you will. And obviously you're hoping they should beat up on the Red Sox. But like you said, I think just running into the Mets, the Mets are kind of pulling all the stops. And the Braves, you know, they're like, yeah, it's just kind of a mid-season game. It was serious, but I don't think they took it as serious. So, you know, again, right now, hey, hats off to the Mets. You know, they're playing well. Normally they collapse and they actually prove something too. So now the Braves have to prove, hey, coming into this was pretty serious as well. They've made some adjustments. We still have some injuries. We're hoping to get Ozzie Albies back. You know, we've tried a couple of things. If we will obviously strengthen the bullpen, hopefully Scirocco will come back soon for that late push as far as the end of the year. But right now, like you said, I can't disagree with you guys as far as the top teams, if you will, too. The Dodgers are playing great. Astros, talked about them. You know, even though the Mets, like you said, I hate that they kind of whipped up on us. But you know, again, it's still early. We're still in the season here. And then obviously, you got to like the talent, if you will, of the Padres, but. You know, again, it's kind of like until they get there, you know, right now it looks good on paper, but they still have to play. And then obviously the Yankees are still always going to be there because of the talent they have, and they made some additions as well too. So it's kind of an interesting situation, but we definitely know who the top teams are, as you guys mentioned, you know, Rob, as far as in the National League and everything.
Well, with the Braves, yeah. You've got, you know, you got the Brewers, the Padres, the Phillies, you know, they're all kind of, you know, they're chomping at, you know, chomping at the heels. So we'll see if they can hold on to that spot. You know, they're a team that has the ability to. Now let's see if they make those adjustments and maybe, just like you said, take those series that they got coming up more like a playoff type thing,
uh-huh.
You know, if atmosphere and in their own mind, in their locker room, we've got to win this. This is our time.
Uh-huh.
If they do that,
uh-huh.
They can hold them off. If they can't, then that's when,
yeah.
You know, because the Phillies are 9-1 in the last 10 games.
Right. Yeah, they're
so,
hot, too.
Yeah.
That's
my hot team of the week is the,
yeah.
Is the Phillies.
Yeah.
I'm not talking
Padres, over, you know, all the time. Yeah, go ahead, Rob.
The Padres, they're trying to hold on and make a run once they get Fernando Tatis back. They could have an extremely potent lineup once he gets back, you know, with Tatis and Soto, Manny Machado. They could have an incredible lineup, and they've improved their pitching too. So, I mean, they're still only like 5-5 in the last 10 games. They're trying to see if they can stay in this wild card run until they can get Tatis back. They're going to be an intriguing team to watch too here down the stretch.
I know that Curtis wanted me to mention Seattle again.
team of the week, another team
scenario.
Yeah,
he's been watching them and he likes what he's seeing. So that's his pick, Curtis's pick.
That's another team that beat
really
the Yankees
good.
2 out of 3 in New York.
Yeah, it's a good series. Luis Castillo's playing well,
and
so that's a good pickup for them right now. Yeah.
Now the Yankees are playing in Seattle here tonight. But Seattle beat the Yankees 2 out of 3 in New York. I mean, I know they're 0-0 right now at the top of the fifth inning. But the Yankees got to start trying to see if they can win some of these series against some good teams. Because right now, any good team they're facing, they're losing the series. I mean, they're to beat the Kansas City Royals. But any good team that they're facing, they have been struggling here of late.
Yeah.
Tell Curtis that I've got some, like Rob, I got some teams I've always liked and I've always been a fan of Seattle. Like you said, we talked about the Ken Griffey Jr. and going back to Ichiro, I've always been a fan of Seattle people too. Obviously Oakland and the West Coast too. There's a couple teams I've actually appreciated too. So just you do want Seattle to do well too. They're the only team that have not made the World Series, so hopefully they'll change that too, because I'm a fan of them for real.
Oh, Andre's got about 5 or 6 teams in every sport. He's just trying to increase his chances of having a chance for somebody winning a championship. But he's got about 5 or 6 teams in every sport.
Rob's got about 10 teams that he likes as well, too. So, I'm just, right there with him, man. So whatever I can do to keep it going, just to have some squad. You can't question Andre's loyalty. I'm loyal to a fault, like you said. So, yes, maybe I'm picking the wrong teams, but, again, I'm okay to jump on a couple of winning teams. That's okay. It's all good. Hey, so let's talk about a situation. At least I didn't come out picking the Yankees all the time, man. That's too easy, picking the Yankees, man. Let's talk about
– Hey, but I've been a fan of the Yankees since I was born.
No, you weren't. No, you
weren't.
Yeah,
man.
Look at Nash coming back in. All right, let's talk about this.
I was staying in New York before Frank Sinatra was.
This guy. What's up, Nas? You coming in here right at an interesting point too. We're gonna do a quick recap as far as the Yankees losing Matt Carpenter here. That's probably. I hope you guys aren't crying too much, Gary, Rob. What say about you? Because that's a broken foot. That's a tough blow for the Yankees.
Yeah, finally outdone for the season.
Yeah.
Don't worry, Gary.
I'm sorry, Rob. Go ahead.
No, you started. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, as Rob said earlier, the Yankees are already struggling, and now you lose Carpenter, who's batting .305, and he's got 15 home runs, 37 RBIs. We got to stop the bleeding somehow. It's a blow, but we got to somehow figure it out, and like Rob said, start winning some of these series against the good teams. Every team has their injuries. Every team has their issues throughout the year in all sports. This is their time to just buck up and start winning some games and get back on a roll and play Yankee baseball. Go ahead, Rob.
No, I totally agree. I mean, they got to start getting you got to get the Juan Carlos Stanton back too. So, he's huge and he's out on the DL. You got to get him back. He's the All-Star MVP. And you went and got Benintendi from the Royals. So hopefully he's going to have an impact on the team. But they got to get like Aaron Hicks and Torres. They got to get these guys going too. I mean, Aaron Judge is having an MVP season. He's MVP type season, but he needs some additional help. DJ LeMahieu's got to get it going. They just need some help. And like I said, they're star pitchers. Gerrit Cole has been struggling lately. So, they really need him to get going if they're going to have any shot of turning this thing around. But losing Matt Carpenter definitely was huge, just from a depth perspective on that lineup. So it was definitely huge.
What's up, Nod?
Yep.
You in here?
Yeah, I guess I'm going to go see if Jeff Bezos need to borrow some money. Yankee fans on here crying about this season, man. Y'all going to get the hell out of here, man. You got Judge on the story.
Nobody
run.
Crying.
You
just telling them like it is.
Look, Matt Carpenter, he already gave you everything he was going to give you. Like, he was going to fall off the cliff. Like, because ain't no way in hell he could stay that high. This dude comes out of retirement, and all of a sudden, he looking like the second best hitter on the court. Dude, I lost so much money earlier in the season from Matt Carpenter tonight that I'm still mad about it. But yeah, the Yankees are going to be fine. Lineup is loaded. Judge is having a historic season. The pitching has to get together. Cole got to figure out a new way to hide his sticky stuff. But you know what I mean? Like, what's to complain about? Like, I don't get it, man. I don't get it. Y'all spoiled, man.
He's coming in hot. I love it. Appreciate you, Naj. It's all about money with Naj. At least we know exactly where he's coming from. He's the ultimate bandwagon guy. I love it. Hey, really quickly, we're gonna do a quick quick check in. Obviously, right now it's top of the 11th, or excuse me, yeah, top of the 11th. Right now, it looks like the Braves are up 9-7 over the Red Sox too. So keeping an eye on that game. Hopefully, we can hold this off and pull off this win versus the Red Sox. I know you guys, Yankee fans, will be happy about that too. So just we'll keep an eye on that, and hopefully, the Braves can pull this
team runs. For those who don't know, and I'm getting madder and madder every time.
And I know if JQ was here, he would probably not be happy if I a couple of players. But I'm just interested as far as how they're playing, because you know obviously the top player that we have right now is Lamar Jackson, because obviously he's such a huge impact for the Ravens. But I'm interested, if you will, with Travis Etienne for the Jacksonville Jaguars, because again, not that we're expecting a lot from the Jacksonville Jaguars, but I just hope that the young man. I think he was just an explosive player too, so I'm excited to see how he plays. We'll talk about the huge injury for the Jets. Mekhi Becton was literally coming back from injury, and then he got injured again, which kind of. And then I know, Rob, you can talk about, Michael Thomas, Chase Young, Khalil Mack was such a huge situation. He got kind of shut down early last year, and then obviously he's going to the Chargers. What a huge impact he's going to have. We can talk about Chris Godwin. And just it's interesting to see kind of what's happening. And then if you want to kind of just do a quick overview, you got Larry Tunsil, Will from the Texans. So he was shut down too. So he may be coming back. And so I don't know if that impacts the Texans as much, but just you're going to get these players coming back. And hopefully they'll have a good, a good respective showing for their teams, if you will. Go ahead, Rob.
No, you hit some on the names. Obviously, Michael Thomas, who practically missed the better part of a year and a half with the Saints. And right now, from all indications, he's looking pretty phenomenal in camp. So, you know, we'll get to see that shortly. Christian McCaffrey, right? He's missed quite a bit of the last two seasons for the Panthers. And we know the Panthers are going to have any kind of success this season. They need help with Christian McCaffrey. They're just not the same team. And he's not healthy. You mentioned Chase Young. I mean, huge impact. And he still may miss some of the early part of the season because he's not totally recovered just quite yet. Darius Leonard for the Colts. Their defense is actually pretty good. But when he's healthy, they're elite. And they need him as well. We'll see if he makes it back. James White, who was a versatile running back for the Patriots. He's a piece for them, right? Looks like they may get him back. Sterling Shepard for the Giants. Ronnie Stanley. You know, you look at this Ravens team, they had a ton of injuries last year. They probably led the league in injuries last year. And if they're healthy, they're right up there with the Bengals for continuing for that division. And Ronnie Stanley, a starting left tackle, if he's healthy, that's going to be a big difference. And then another guy, Travis Etienne. We didn't get to see him at all last year in his rookie season. So it's going to be really intriguing. They plan to use him all over the field in Jacksonville, lining up at running back, lining up at receiver. He's going to be a weapon all over the field if he's healthy. So those are just some of the eight names that I thought of, some guys that are coming off of injuries that could have a huge impact this year.
Yeah, I'd go with that. Chase Young is another one. You know, there's a lot of guys. I'm good with that list. I don't have anything else on that topic. How about you, Nod?
About who?
We were talking about the players that were hurt last year that are coming back, if you will, some key injuries that they had last year that are coming back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got nothing on that, man. I'll second everything they said. CMC, Slant Boy, and a few other guys that are coming back, so we'll see, man. It is what it is.
Slant Boy.
I had to get that in, Rob.
Love it. Tre'Davious White, we talked, he was kind of a missing person. He got hurt last year. He had the torn ACL. But it's interesting right now because why we're going to kind of tie that too, because there's word on the street that Odell Beckham is interested in joining the Bills. So, I guess this is open topic for the floor. Rob, what do you think about this move? Is it, again, interesting situation. He's kind of going to a pretty explosive Buffalo Bills team. And, is he a good fit and how serious is that situation?
Well, you know, obviously, I think the Bills, I know we've got to talk about Super Bowl predictions here. I think the Bills are the team to beat in the AFC. That's my early Super Bowl pick. You know, I think Josh Allen's had a breakout year. All indications, Cook, the running back from Georgia, is having an incredible camp. They're expecting that's what really was a missing piece on this football team. Can he run the football? And so if based on what we're hearing in camp is true, that could be a huge difference maker. And obviously you still got Stephon Diggs. If they do get Odell, he's probably not going to be really healthy the close of November or October, in my opinion. But he could still be an impact for that team down the stretch. Defensively, this team looks loaded, especially if their cornerback, Tre'Davious White, if he's healthy.
Tre'Davious White.
So this could be he could be a huge this team could be a really strong football team. Like I said, they're my pick right now. Obviously, you got Von Miller, too, coming off the edge. You went out and picked up him. So that's another big pass rusher that they have. I mean, this is a loaded roster, and they're my early pick, like I said, right now, to win the AFC and to win the Super Bowl.
Well, the only thing I would say on that is with OBJ, you know, he's been passed around. He tried before the Bills, he was trying to beg his way onto the Cowboys, and he's still in his mind – He's still that alpha male, but he's not that alpha male on the field anymore. Could he be productive for a period of time for a team like the Bills? Absolutely. But like Rob said, where's he going to be later in the season? What impact will he have later in the season? And for the most part, what will he bring that they don't already have right now to a team like the Bills, because they're loaded already. If they use him sparingly and he keeps his head on straight, I think it would be a good move for him. If he starts pouting and thinking that he's still the alpha male, then you're going to run into a locker room bullshit like he's had before at different stops along the way. That would be the conversations that I would have with him. Is what do you think? Where do you think your role is? This is what we want your role to be, and you know this is you can count on. You're not going to get you're not going to be the alpha dog out there. You're not going to be even the second guy, but you're going to be there in the event that we need you. Those are the conversations I would have.
No more boat trips, right, Gary?
Yeah.
What do you say about that, Josh?
No, like I'm with them. I don't think Buffalo is a good landing spot. They got the kid, Gabriel Davis, kind of coming into his own. He's getting the majority of targets that don't go to Diggs. Then Dawson Knox has to eat a little bit. And a little low-key move they made, they picked up O.J. Howard. So who knows if he becomes another goal line weapon for them. But I just don't see the targets or the catches in Buffalo. So if I was Odell, I'd probably go somewhere else, man. But, yeah, he's probably going to miss the early season. But, I mean, he was productive last year as a receiver. He's really good. So I don't see an issue with bringing Odell onto a team.
It's just tough, right? Gary, you nailed it because you do wonder, you know, how Odell's going to fit in because, I mean, is he kind of losing a little bit is he still making an impact? So, I mean, I'm not saying that you can't, like, watch out for him, but, you know, is he the same player before? That's the question, right? Because he's kind of bounced around a couple teams. He's coming off an injury, as we've talked about. So, does he still kind of command that respect? Is he still, like, the threat, you know? So, that's something that we have to think about, you know, because obviously, you know, the Bills are, you know, that would be a good spot to go to because you may not have to do as much. So you're just hoping that, you know, whatever little you can get, maybe I'm going against a third corner or something like that, or even a number two corner, maybe I can do some damage, if you will, you know, and maybe take a little bit off of Diggs. But Diggs is the guy, man. Then obviously with the way that Josh Allen is playing, like you said, Rob, the Bills definitely look like a contender. I'm going to transition right into you, Gary. So what do you think as far as any Super Bowl predictions, if you will? That's kind of a good segue right into that.
My Super Bowl, I have two Super Bowl picks. since the season, you know, is really hasn't even started yet. I've got the Bills versus the Rams.
Okay.
And then my other Super Bowl pick is Kansas City, Tampa Bay.
Please no.
Curtis's picks, Super Bowl picks, are Denver and Tampa Bay, with Denver winning.
Okay. All right.
Anyone else can chime in on that too. That's interesting. Rob has got the Bills going in hard for that. Lord have mercy.
Yeah, I got the Bills.
I
have the Rams in the NFC too. But you know, there are a lot of teams in the AFC I like. I mean, I still like the Bills a little more. But just about every NFC team has a question mark, including the Rams. I'm not sold on the Rams' offensive line. You know, Jalen Ramsey coming off of an injury right now. He's on the pup list. So, and then you got Matthew Stafford with the elbow issues right now. For every team in the NFC, even the teams who we think are the contenders, there's a question mark to me. You look at, even though I got the Rams, you look at the 49ers. What are the 49ers? Got a loaded roster, but what are they going to get at the quarterback position? Arizona Cardinals, DeAndre Hopkins is suspended for six games, right? Kyler Murray, right? Where's his headspace? You know, you look at the Buccaneers. Tom Brady's got two of his interior offensive linemen that were starters last year, not on his team. Ryan Jensen is probably out for the year. Ali Marpet retired, right? That's huge when you look at Tampa Bay's perspective, right? And also, Julio Jones, he hadn't been healthy in like 39 years. They signed him. And also Chris Godwin is coming off of ACL. You know, even the Saints, you know, Saints got a loaded roster, but what are we going to get at the quarterback position, right? Green Bay doesn't have Devontae Adams. Who's going to be number one weapon? So there's every team that we can perceive to be a playoff contender in the NFC. There's some question marks about them, where I think in the AFC you just got a lot of strong teams that could really make a run for this thing.
I would definitely agree with that.
Anything to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, I got nothing to add, man. I would say KC, I'm looking to kind of go to your previous point about injury. I'm looking for a big Juju breakout year with Mahomes.
Nice.
I think he surprises people this year. But, no,
yeah.
I don't have anybody in the NFC, man, because I just can't see myself putting anything down on Tampa. Like the injuries you guys just talked about, and that guy is old. And eventually that's going to show too. So, I'm good.
Losing Jensen hurt. Like you said, Julio Jones, what has he got left in the tank? I got Chris Godwin coming back, but, you know, it's just – yeah, but like I said, I don't think we're solid enough to figure out who's a solid team for the NFC just yet. Let's talk about an interesting bit of news that happened in that the Bears' Roquan Smith demands a trade. And I guess there's kind of a two-part question because if you kind of look at the way the league is going, and obviously Roquan Smith is a very talented young player, you know, obviously, you know, just I think he's only 25 years old, young player. And right now it looks like he's playing a little hardball with the GM, and he wasn't happy with the way negotiations were handled. And the question is, do you think that the linebacker position is an impact position, right? Because that's kind of what you're probably betting against if you're the GM of the Bears. Now, if you're the Bears, you obviously lost Khalil Mack. You know, you don't want to keep losing these talented players, but – and I'm not saying that Roquan Smith is in the same atmosphere as Khalil Mack, but just – it may not look good for, you know, just for the team. So what do you guys think about that? Where are some destinations that he's going? There's been some rumors that the Ravens and the Broncos are interested. You know, hell, Cowboys, you know, that you'd love to see a player like this, if you will, to kind of pair him with Parsons. But what do you think about, does Roquan Smith make that much of an impact player as a linebacker? And Rob, you can go back to the days never before. I think the last big trade was like for Jonathan Vilma, actually, you know, he was traded. And then, you know, Jamie Collins for the Patriots. So you're interested, and besides Khalil Mack too, but you know, is that such a powerful position, if you will, for linebacker?
Well, the type of linebacker he is, he can make an impact because, you know, the NFL has become such a passing league. You know, right now, a lot of times you only have two linebackers on the field, and those two linebackers are guys that can roam and run sideline to sideline. And Roquan Smith is that kind of linebacker. He can roam sideline to sideline. He can play the run. He can drop in the pass coverage. So he's this kind of linebacker that's what the NFL is looking for in today's NFL, right? They're looking for these, like I said, most teams only play two linebackers on the field for most of the game now because it's such a passing game. So he's the type of linebacker that you want to have on your football team. You know, yeah, and he can play either defense, too, if you – even for the teams that still play the 3-4, but if you're playing at 4-2-5, where you're playing two linebackers and five DBs, which a lot of teams are playing these days, he's good for that system too. And he is that versatile kind of guy. I don't know if you give up a first-round pick for him, but I can see a team giving up a second-round pick for him for him and for his services. So it's going to be interesting, you know, what team goes after their what team goes, hey, I like the Saints again. I mean, you know, we could use some more depth at linebacker.
There are a lot of teams that would like his skill set. And, you know, you took the words right out of my mouth with this whole, you know, passing league and types of coverage they run for these passing attacks. And he just fits the mold. And there's a lot of teams. I'd like the Cowboys to make a play for a guy like that. There's a lot of teams out there. I don't want any other NFC East team to make a play for him.
To Rob's point, three down linebackers who can cover in space, they're important in today's game. And I think basically what we're dealing with, we got a lot of front offices who are dealing with the old paradigm. The old paradigm was take it or leave it. You tell the player to go spit. At a certain point, you just don't pay them. But if they, like, kind of took some advice from their NBA counterparts, I think what NFL GMs will find out is, no, you sign the guy either to a short-term deal or a long-term deal, and then you lose him and you get your equity back. The idea that you're telling Roquan Smith he's not, you know, worthy of a long-term deal and you can get a replacement-level player or an average linebacker to take his place. Like, no, you actually can't. He provides value. Now, the thing is, how do you lock in that value and still get the equity back if you move off him? So I just think NFL front offices are still behind the times. They haven't caught up yet with the way things are going, and I think they're really misvaluing how you handle an asset. And I hate to talk about players in that kind of language, but you know, that's basically what we're talking about. So I just think they're behind the times because the easy move is to lock him up and then move him next year. But here we go. You play hardball with the guy. You have the down season. Now he's worth less. Who wins? Not you.
Yeah.
All good.
I definitely want to get – we're going to get this last thing. We're going to talk briefly about the top potential free agents for 2023. I definitely want to talk about what's happening with Durant and the tweet about what he's thinking about with Steve Nash, which is pretty powerful. But, Rob, let's kind of talk about some players. Please don't mention Tom Brady. No, he's probably number one, right, as a potential free agent for 2023. That's crazy that he's on the damn list, right, him and Lamar Jackson.
I don't even have Tom Brady on my list because I think Tom Brady's going to retire after this. I don't even have him on it. I know a lot of people have him on that list. But I don't have Tom Brady on the top free agents for 2023. So Lamar Jackson, right? Although I think the Ravens and Lamar at some point are going to reach a deal. I got Lamar Jackson on here, obviously. Quentin Nelson, who is the anchor of that Colts offensive line.
Yep.
I mean, he's huge in that running game. He's probably the best interior offensive lineman in the game right now, Quentin Nelson. Orlando Brown, you mentioned, left tackle for the Chiefs. He's on there. Derwin James, safety for the Chargers. He's one of the better defensive players in the game. Roquan Smith, who we just talked about. Jesse Bates, safety for the Bengals. Eric McCoy, center for the Saints, one of the better interior offensive linemen, too. Jack Conklin, offensive tackle for the Browns. And then Gary and Curtis Cowboys, Dalton Schultz, tight end.
Yeah.
So those are the nine guys that I have right now. Some intriguing free agent for next offseason. Some of these guys are probably going to get signed before they get to free agency, but those are the guys right now.
Yeah, Quentin Nelson is a great pickup.
Tom Brady is, you know, 1 year away from his AARP card. I still have him on the list. He's nowhere near the top, but, you know, every time we think he's done, now, I don't like him. I like him better now that he's with Tampa and away from the, you know, beefing up Belichick's record. But he's still definitely on the list. He's proven he can still throw the football and make the plays when he really needs to. But I am going to say one thing. Before, I'm sorry, Naj, for just 1 second.
No, go ahead, bro.
My win-loss for the Patriots is 8 wins, 9 losses. Another non-Belichick, non-Tom Brady year.
Well, Gary, you and I are close because I have the Patriots going 9-8, so I'm just 1 win more than what you have. I have them going 9-8 based on their schedule.
Mm-hmm. And I went through it today as well, and Curtis and I went through it, and Curtis had them at 9-8 as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I hated them enough to drop that one game off and make it a losing record.
No, nine and eight would be good for them. That sets the foundation moving forward with your young quarterback. Now you just need to kind of build the offense because right now they've missed on so many offensive pieces and drafted the wrong guys and paid the wrong free agents that they just kind of have to reset that offense. But the defense is there. It's together. So we'll just have to see how that comes together, man. But, man, don't – y'all better quit disrespecting Bill, man. He's still that guy, man. Like, it is what it is.
I agree.
I don't like him. I can't stand him, but one of the best to ever do
He's
it.
Not that guy. Tom,
if y'all think Odell has demand, we just got news of Tom trying to have a damn coup and take over a whole front office and get an ownership stake. If that dude comes up to the agency, ain't no telling what he going to ask for. I'm going to need a piece of the concessions and a little bit of the park. Like, Tom, y'all want to call Odell a diva. My God.
That dude, yeah. I'm kind of sick of him as well. So, yeah. Hey, really quickly, we're going to spend probably the last time in going to the – we're not going to go to OT, but we're kind of spend the last part of the show talking about Kevin Durant. But I do really want to talk about what happened with, you know, DeJounte Murray and Ranchero here. I think this is interesting, you know, and if you're a Hawks fan, you know, we're happy because, you know, we need players that have that edge, right? Obviously, Trey has an edge, but we need more players. And the word on the street was that, you know, obviously he's a young buck. He's trying to, you know, again, step up and kind of make some talk trash to DeJounte Murray. And he's like, yo, bruh, you ain't even in the league yet, man. So I'm kind of happy the way that he was able to you know, kind of show out and just kind of put the young buck in his place. And that's what you do, right? There's been times and ever. You know, if you take it back to the old school, how, you know, Michael Jordan got introduced to the league whenever Larry Bird throwing the ball at him. And you know these rivalries kind of happen too, man. So I'm just happy that, again, we have a player that, you know, has that fire. Like, yo, you're not going to punk us, man. So I'm just happy to see that. So that's my two cents on that. Naj, you got anything to say, my other Atlanta guy?
No, I mean, it was what it was, man. He had a nice little highlight that everybody's going to laugh at for years. But, yeah, that's kind of how the pecking order goes, man. You're the young boy. You got to show a little bit of deference to the older guy. Otherwise, the older guy is going to, you know.
You got to show up, right? Respect my authority. Go ahead.
You're right.
You never had that was from South Park.
Right, that's right. Basically what it was.
Talk about this. We got 10 minutes to talk about this. I'm curious to hear everybody's response about this. We're going to really, really dive into this because we're going to talk about Kevin Durant. He demands a trade from the Nets, but then he also said that, you know, it's basically either, you know, he basically fire Nash. Owner responds, basically talking about the front office and coach staff have my full support. We will make decisions in the best interest of the Brooklyn Nets. So, What say you? What's kind of playing out? I'm going to throw it to Rob, throw it to Curtis, Gary, and then kind of wrap up with Notch, because I'm sure you guys have some very interesting thoughts about this situation.
Yeah, you know, normally the players, historically in the NBA, the players normally won these battles. You know, you go back to Magic Johnson and Paul Westphal in 1980.
Yeah.
The players, you know, you go back to Michael Jordan and Doug Collins. The players normally win these deals, right? So it's I was actually somewhat surprised that the owners came up and spoke out on behalf of Steve Nash and I somewhat kind of like it because you don't want the players kind of running in your organization, right? You're probably going to lose out on a talent like Kevin Durant. So it's, and obviously the Nets still hold his rights, and I don't see Durant sitting out for the whole season. So if you're the Nets, you know, I still hold my ground, and you don't pull that trigger until you get a legitimate trade. I mean, the Utah Jazz got four, not one, not two, not three, four first-round picks for Rudy Gobert. Now, don't get me wrong. Rudy Gobert is one of the best defensive centers in the game. He averaged a double-double.
Come on, Rob.
Four first-round picks.
That's overpaying.
So, four first-round picks. So, the Nets, you got to sit on Kevin Durant until you get a legitimately offer, a strong deal. And if you got to go in the season with Kevin Durant, you stand your ground because he's under contract. I don't think he's going to sit out the season and lose all that money. Obviously, you're going to try to accommodate what you can, but you do not settle for a horrible deal.
Well, and the only thing I would say on that is maybe Durant made the comments that he made to potentially speed up a potential trade somewhere. But nevertheless, he knows that he's the star there. And like you said, Rob, there have been other players. You know, Magic Johnson is the one that came to my mind. Of course, MJ as well with the Bulls. But he's the one that, you know, if he's happy and he's willing to stay there, Nash hasn't been that great of a coach anyway. Why not dump his ass, run with Durant, and be a decent team in the East? You know, if you make him happy, and even if you traded Kyrie and got something for Kyrie, maybe it would benefit him, and maybe he would stay there and be happy. The other side of that coin is Durant is so temperamental, and his feelings get hurt so easy. Who's to say that after you did all that, that something else he didn't like, that he wanted to demand a trade again? He might just be that kind of a guy too. So it's kind of a roll of the dice, and I don't know which way he is. I know he's just, his feelings get hurt. If someone says something on Twitter, he just can't help himself. He's always got to retaliate back instead of just consider the source or whatever. You guys say bad stuff to me all the time. I don't lash out at you guys.
Yes, you do.
Oh, sorry. I guess I do, don't I?
We're going to have to go back to the tape for that, Gary. That's hilarious. Keep going.
They run back to the tape. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Every time they start negotiating with somebody, they started leaking out the details. And to me, it looks like Brooklyn did not want to move Durant and wanted to try to convince him in camp to stay and try to figure out a way to make this, you know, this marriage keep working. And Durant clearly wants out, so this was the next move to try to get them to move him to where he makes a ridiculous demand of fire the coach and the GM. Like, nobody's going to do that because you demanded it. So clearly he's trying to figure out a way out. I think Brooklyn is still looking at this from, you got no other place to go. We're paying you eventually. If we get you here, we can kind of bring you around. But I don't know, man, because I'm looking at it from this standpoint. Once you hit a certain part of superstardom within the NBA, you can call your shot as far as where you are employed because you can refuse to report. And what's even worse, go back to the James Harden-Houston situation, when you report and then just play terribly selfish and act like you don't care, which is a worse situation than you being at home. For y'all who remember those two Houston games where they said, okay, that's enough, and sent him back home because of the way Harden was acting. So at a certain level of superstardom, yes, you can force your way out. And I think Brooklyn is going to have to take one of these deals, and I think they're going to get a monster deal. And I still think the best deal is in Toronto. I think you can pluck some really good players and picks from Toronto and really, you know, make something of yourself going forward. But, yeah, this is Kevin Durant trying to make the deal happen, man. He asked him to
find Toronto's not on this list, though.
GM.
Yeah, Toronto's on his list, though, Nas, as far as plays to go, man. It's like he's like either Miami or Phoenix, right? So, yeah. That would be a good look. You know, that's a good play, Rob. Stand your ground. Rob is in the stand your ground state of Florida, too. So, good stuff. We got about 5 minutes.
Yeah, here. You stand your ground. It's all fun and games. So you show up and won't pass the ball or won't shoot. And now you got him on your team.
Stand my ground.
That's talking to the young guys and stuff.
Oh, man. Is there anything else? Is there anything, any topic you guys wanted to talk about really quickly? I'm going to throw that to Rob, and then we'll wrap this up too. Is there anything you want to talk about, Gary Curtis, any topic? So go ahead and we'll get ready to wrap up the show.
I do believe that Wentz is going to hang. I do believe that Wentz is going to hang on to his position at quarterback. They brought him in to be the quarterback. He's going to have a few good games, and then he's going to get injured. So both guys are going to be able to play. And that's been his career.
I think he played well last year.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I'm with you, though.
Yeah, I agree. I think they traded for Wentz. They're going to at least let Carson Wentz lose the job, right? They're going to give him a shot.
Right.
And if he doesn't perform, then they have the quick hitch and go to Tyler Heinicke. But I do think they're going to give Carson Wentz every opportunity to win or lose that job going into the season. I'm going to touch SEC football, right? Alabama, preseason number one. You know, obviously have one of the best quarterbacks in the country and on their team. And then Georgia has only 10 starters coming back, but they're loaded as well. So I got them winning the East. And then the outside sleeper to me is Texas A&M. I think they're the top three teams in the SEC this year. And then there's the next group. And I think that next group after behind those three teams are like LSU, Tennessee, Kentucky. South Carolina is going to be intriguing. That's a team that played really well at the end of the year. But what are we going to get out of Spencer Rattler? So that's going to be intriguing to see what kind of season he has. Like I said, South Carolina really played well towards the end of the season. And now Rattler's going to that program. So there's going to be a team that's going to be interesting. And Florida with Anthony Richardson is going to be a team that's going to be interesting too. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you guys recognize the music there. That's the end of our live portion of the show and no OT portion tonight. So we're going to call it a night here. But we thank everybody for tuning in to another great edition of Talking Sports with Puff Man. We're going to be back at you on next Tuesday night. That's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern Time in Philadelphia. I want some of those Philly cheesesteaks. That's going to be 10 o'clock in Chicago with the deep dish pizza. It's going to be 9 o'clock in Denver. And on the West Coast, California, Portland, Seattle, it's going to be 8 p.m. for you guys. Tune in on next Tuesday night. We certainly appreciate you all. Good night. Be safe. Have a fabulous week.
Andre, you're heading to Destin, you said?
Heading to Charlotte. Oh, but Destin, the last week of October.
Okay. Good. That's
got where you met.
Family coming in.
All right.
What were you saying, Nash?
Wear your mask. Be careful down there, man.
They don't believe in wearing masks in Florida. Rob should know about that. They're like, that's a mask,
hey,
man. But nah.
I moved here in November of 2020, and that's when we were in the heart of the pandemic, and they weren't wearing their mask in Florida. We came
they
down
don't
here,
believe in that.
And we was like, man, my wife and I would look at each other and was like, man, they don't think there's a pandemic going on down here. The restaurants were packed.
I know.
Every day.
Undefeated. State of Florida. Florida man is undefeated. And I just want to say, y'all, sorry I was distracted tonight. Look, the Padres got this all-star lineup, and I roll with them again tonight, and these boys ain't hitting like, dog, I'm getting real mad, man. Like, I'm trying to keep my composure, man, but I'm getting real mad at these Padres. Soto, all you boys. Man, what the hell, man?
You got to wait till they get Tatis.
How many all-stars they need?
Yeah, sick of these boys, man. Game back from the wild card. The Orioles have come out of nowhere. Wow.
Wow.
Shout out to my son, Ryan Mountcastle. I've adopted him. Shout out to the homie.
We love it. Hey, Gary, definitely appreciate Curtis. Hope he's doing well. We'll talk soon. I'm going to be – me and the wife, we're going to take a – I know I was reaching out to you, Robert. We can't wait. We're going to probably make a trip to Portugal, first part of the year. So we'll talk to you more about that. We're excited to do that.
Nice. I love Portugal.
And, you know, just hitting some places too. So we're having fun, man. So we're probably get a chance to kind of do some traveling here. But should be fun. Obviously, it's crazy how we're still looking at the last one. I know we talked about not talking too much for the OT. But it is crazy that, you know, we talked about wearing a mask, Naj, right? And in Toronto, like, they're like, yo, if you're unvaccinated, you still can't play here. So it's like, bruh, they have kind of been, nah, forget it. If you're not vaccinated, you ain't playing. Go ahead, Rob.
Hey, you go to France, man. You go to France. You can, any restaurant you walk into, sanitation card, please. They don't even call it vaccination card. It's sanitation card. They want to know if you sanitize. Sanitation.
Yeah, these are adult serious countries, man. Those are adult serious countries. We're childish.
Mm-hmm. It's my constitutional right not to wear a mask. F you, man. Oh, man.
Hey.
I used to do weddings, and I used to say that, man.
And you're still walking to the store.
Does anybody know what the
percentage greeting you at the door
the players are
and sanitizing?
Does anybody know what the percentage of the players are in the NBA that are not vaccinated?
We don't know the percentage, but we can look up the names just by the trips to the Toronto. So you can kind of, you know what I mean? You can kind of back channel and figure it out real quick. You just look up the trips to Toronto and see the guys who had the
I know when the Kansas City Royals played in Toronto, almost half the team had to stay in Kansas City because they're not vaccinated. What is like?
And when Ben Tendi went to New York, he said, "Okay, let me go and get this vaccination," because he knew the Yankees wasn't gonna play that.
Ben Tendi, he sure did.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And you know when the 76ers played the Raptors in the playoffs, Mason Thybulle wasn't vaccinated. He's one of the best defenders in the team.
Oh, his agent should have fist fought him. Like, dude, are you crazy? You barely in the league. What?
Man, he's holding on. He's holding on. All right, gentlemen. But we appreciate you guys again. We'll talk more next Tuesday. Rob, thank you for putting together the topic. Gary, appreciate your text about the Cowboys. That was hilarious. It made my night. So keep that up. We hope that Curtis, appreciate you. Hope you're always fighting. We'll check in. Hopefully, JK will be back next week. Naj, what did you say, Rob?
No, I say hang in there, Curtis.
Yeah, we got you.
Yes,
Naj, we always appreciate your clever witticisms and just the energy you bring to the show, too. It always cracks us up to have you joining, man. So anytime you always come in, call. We love your comments, too. And I don't know whether to tell you not to keep going with the Padres, but maybe go with a different situation, sir. Now that's my 2 cents for you, man. I don't know. That may not be the best situation for you right now. All good.
All right, Jim, we'll get some rest.
We're excited. We'll talk soon. We'll do a recap, Naj, because, you know, the Falcons are playing the Detroit kneecaps, man, so we'll have some fighting kneecaps for we'll do a recap about the game next week, too, man. So I'm excited to hear about that, too, man. So fun times.
Let's go. Let's go.
Gentlemen, see you guys next week. We'll talk.
Good night, people.
Good night, people.